Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We're going to take you up into, I guess it's Delaware County. We're going to be going to the Hannaford Mills Museum, and Liz Callahan's the director.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You are in Delaware County, right? Are you?
We are in northwest Delaware County, on the northern edge of Delaware County. We're actually closest to Oneonta in Otsego County, but if you drew a triangle between Oneonta, Stamford, and Delhi, we're kind of in the middle of that triangle.
That's great. So you're not far from the Cooperstown area, so it's a great little, go up to see you and then shoot over and see the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, you can do a couple things up there.
Exactly, and we really try to promote that. In general, in terms of travel through Delaware County, there are so many attractions along Route 28, along Route 23, along our beautiful scenic byways that we want people to get off the thruway in Kingston and travel through, spend a little time visiting all these great places as they head to places like Cooperstown. And we are about 30 miles south of Cooperstown, so it's easy to combine the trip.
What's the actual town you're in?
We are in the town of Meredith.
Meredith.
There are three major hamlets in the town of Meredith, and East Meredith is one of them. Mm-hmm. And Hannaford Mills Museum is the centerpiece of East Meredith, a lovely little hamlet that I really has not changed much in the last 100 years. It's actually probably a little quieter than it was 100 years ago.
Okay, but it was quite a bustling hub years ago. Maybe tell us a little bit about the history of what you are and how it came to be.
Sure. Well, Hannaford Mills Museum is a museum that's based on a historic mill site. It's a mill site that operated as a business from the 1840s to the 1960s and served the rural community it's in for that time period with a variety of different activities at a rural industrial complex. So in the 1840s, when the mill was first built, it was a seasonal up-and-down sawmill where the farmers who were just establishing farms in this area were bringing their logs to be sawn into the lumber in the spring. And otherwise, it was a farmstead for the owners. But by the 1860s, John Hannaford, or D.J. Hannaford, I should say, purchased the mill and the farm and turned the seasonal up-and-down sawmill into a bigger operation. And then eventually, with the help of his sons, really grew the operation over the last half of the 1800s and into the early 1900s. The sons continued to grow the operation. And it became a grist mill, a woodworking shop. They were very entrepreneurial, very innovative. They tried a lot of different things. They watched trends and thought, oh, we could do that with our machinery. They were doing everything with the water power they could imagine doing in terms of meeting local needs, but also reaching farther out into other markets and selling local wood products to farther markets that were farther away. But they were also grinding grains for local farmers to use. Now, the railroad didn't come to East Meredith until the early 1900s, so the local community really depended on the grains ground at Hannaford Mills before train and automobile transportation could bring things from other places for them to use. But as things changed with the train and then trucks and autos, the mill changed too to reflect the needs of the local agricultural community and grew into a distributor of small engines and other hardware and feed from other places, special mixed feeds from feed mills around the area. So the mill really continued to serve as a commercial hub supporting the rural community and the agricultural community around it through World War II. And things began to decline after World War II as farming changed in Delaware County and fewer people were farming, as things became more easily available because most families had their own pickup trucks or automobiles and could get things they needed from Oneonta and Stamford and Delhi. But the mill operated and served the community right through the 1960s. So we have this great document of 120-plus years of history of rural industry and how it connected to a rural community and how it connected to local agriculture and how it was impacted by bigger economic and transportation trends. And we bring it all together here at Hanford Mills and have a great opportunity to not just talk to people about all that history, but to show it off, because we have a working mill complex where we can use water and steam power as they were used historically to operate over a dozen different machines, including our circular sawmill and our millstone grist mill and an attrition grist mill and several other woodworking machines, and really show log to lumber, grains to ground grist that could be fed to animals, products that were made that reflect the products the Hanfords made over the decades they operated, different things they tried, and how these things supported the local agricultural community, the dairy industry, and all this interaction that is also based in our local environment, the use of water power. Well, where's that coming from? It's coming from the watershed we're in, and the fact that we're in a valley surrounded by hills where water's coming into our Courtright Creek and feeding the mill pond, and we're returning it right back to Courtright Creek as renewable power. And where are these agricultural and natural resources coming from? They're coming from the local fields and the local hillsides, so we can explore renewable power, renewable resources, agricultural production then and now. And it's really exciting that we can be so relevant in 2016, and we can still talk about processes that were so important to people 150 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's so amazing. And just to think you've got a working water mill. I mean, where is anybody going to be able to see anything like that? You just can't find it.
There aren't many around that survive.
No.
And I have to say, you know, some people may have been to Sturbridge Village and seen their mill, or Phillipsburg Manor, or there are other places around that have working water wheels and water-powered mills, and they're all fantastic, too. However, Hanford Mills is really unique because it survives with great authenticity.
Yes.
The mill complex includes 16 historic buildings on 70 acres.
Wow.
So it's in situ. We haven't collected buildings and brought them here. These were all part of this working mill complex and part of this community. And the mill complex not only has all these buildings that are as they were built and kind of as they worked for so long, but it also has these historic power generation sources that are really unique. There are other places with water wheels. There are other places with water turbines. We also demonstrate the use of the water turbine as they used it historically. There are fewer places that operate with live steam power, mm-hmm. and we have recreated the Hanford steam power plant, and it's about 99% authentic.
Wow.
Everything we do has safety above authenticity, so we changed a few small things to make sure it's very safe in terms of our 21st century standards. But we are able to interpret the power of water and demonstrate the power of water in all three of its forms, solid, liquid, and gas.
Isn't it?
So liquid over the water wheel, through the water turbine, gas when we operate the steam power plant, and then solid because each winter we harvest ice from the mill pond. And we use that ice, the power of ice, that energy from ice is just as important as the energy from the steam and the energy from the liquid water to cool the ice cream we make for our 4th of July celebration, to in the ice box in the Hanford House and with school groups to explore the role of why ice was so important in preserving agricultural products until they safely got to market before mechanical refrigeration. Because if a farmer didn't have a good ice crop, if a community couldn't harvest ice and save it for the spring, summer, and fall to keep their agricultural products cool, their products that they harvested in the spring, summer, and fall in from their farms, and whether it was the animals or the vegetables, the other products of the field, were not going to be as valuable because they couldn't keep things cold and fresh.
Wow. So you have a giant building, and then you chop up the ice in the winter, and you put it in the building, and it stays?
We keep it in a traditional ice house.
Wow, yeah.
The ice house we have here is a small example, but a very traditional style.
Uh-huh.
There was actually a much larger ice house on site, which we have a lot of great documentation for, but it no longer stands on the site.
Uh-huh.
But we harvest 8 to 9 tons of ice on the first Saturday in February,
wow.
And we invite people to come out and help us do it. So every year, if the conditions permit, visitors, and we've had 3-year-olds and we've had 93-year-olds on the ice, and sometimes together in a multi-generational extended family experience, harvesting ice with us and helping us get the ice into the ice house. And so everybody should mark their calendars. We're not thinking much about winter right now, but everybody should mark their calendars for the first Saturday in July in February when we harvest ice from the mill pond each year, because
wow.
It's a great, exhilarating way to experience history. And it's a very hands-on experience. And it's really a community activity like a traditional ice harvest would have been, where people got together and got that ice harvest in from one pond and then moved on to the other while the conditions permitted and while the crop was in good shape. So
it's
really
exciting. How big is the pond for the nine
tons? Our pond is maybe an acre or two, kind of, if you wanted to kind of think about how much it takes up. And it's about 14 feet deep. It really is to serve the mill in terms of the power we draw from Courtright Creek. We borrow the water. We hold it in the mill pond. It's kind of engineered very traditionally to provide enough what's called head pressure to help run the water wheel and the water turbine optimally. And then we return it right back to Courtright Creek, just down the creek.
Wow, isn't that something? And then you have little, like, the precursors of refrigerators where you put ice in it and...
Yes, the traditional ice boxes, which some people might recognize because they're great antiques and people use them for all sorts of things now if folks have antiques. But a traditional ice box was based on the engineering that warm air rises and cool air settles. So an ice box generally has two compartments, and whether it's made of metal or wood, the upper compartment would have held the ice, and the lower compartment would have held the food. And as the warm air rose, it pushed the cold air down into the lower compartment to keep the food cold. And then, of course, they're set up with some insulation and drainage, and so that melting ice and the water is drawn away from the food, and the ice is not sitting in a puddle of water. And it's kind of the same engineering that goes into our ice house. It's a very traditional farm ice house design that keeps it insulated, ventilated, and drained, and that allows us to keep ice in the ice house without any plugs or electricity or any magic tricks, just traditional engineering. And we still have ice in the ice house now, and most years we still have ice in the ice house into the fall.
Wow. You must be a favorite attraction for school groups, I would think. You could teach them
much. We have a school group on site as we speak, actually.
Yeah.
A day camp group is visiting us today, and we have great relationships with local schools in several counties surrounding us, and we even have school groups that travel from Pennsylvania for some of our activities. And it is a great way for kids to experience in a very hands-on way the power of water, getting a better understanding of renewable resources, getting an understanding of innovation and mechanics and physics. It's a really kind of very simple yet poignant way to get all of these things through to kids. And we, of course, have really tried to align everything we do with the core curriculum the teachers are working with and making sure that it meets all the state education standards. So we work very hard to kind of make sure that it's educationally justifiable as well as stimulating and exciting.
Wow. Now, what are your hours and what days are you open? And is it the same all year round, or do you have seasons that you're open? Or
we are open from mid-May to mid-October to the public, partially because the mill's not as hospitable in the middle of winter, and we sure. also have to take it offline when we have frost heaves and things like that. But we're open from May 15th to October 15th, Wednesdays through Sundays from 10 to 5. Our tours last about an hour, although we will certainly work with you if you have less time, and many people end up spending much more than an hour on site as they wander through some of the other buildings, mm-hmm. maybe bring a picnic and enjoy the beautiful site. Mm-hmm. But we are open Wednesdays through Sundays, 10 to 5, with the last tour starting at 4. And we do offer military discounts, AAA discounts, senior citizen discounts, and mm-hmm. kids 12 and under are always admitted free. Mm-hmm. So we try to make it very accessible for families to visit. We're here so people will come and see us. And when people do come to East Meredith, which is not always on everyone's beaten path, so when people make the effort to get to East Meredith, not too hard to find, but not right on the way anywhere, we make it worth their while. Our tours are very engaging, very dynamic, filled with several demonstrations, very personalized. Our guides are great about really interacting with the visitors, so it's not someplace where you're going to get dragged around and talked at. You're going to have a lot of experience, opportunities to ask questions and really get an understanding of what you're seeing and what you're experiencing.
And you said there were 17 buildings. Which ones would be included in the tour? Was like there an old farmhouse where people lived also? And
yes, there is a farmhouse. It's the John Hanford Farmhouse. John was one of DJ Hanford's sons, and the youngest son, he inherited DJ's farm. His older two brothers inherited the mill, and John built a farmhouse after moving his father's house off the foundation,
oh,
moving
wow.
it up the road a little bit, uh-huh. and he built his family a nice farmhouse. So it's a 1910 farmhouse where
wow.
not every day, but often we do cook stove demonstrations where people mm-hmm. can see what it was like to do cooking on a wood-fired cook stove. And we have several workshops coming up related to wood-fired cook stove cooking, and including a parent-child workshop
oh, wow.
this fall. So if anybody's ever been interested in wood stove cooking, whether it's just the adult or they have kids or grandkids they'd like to learn to cook with on a wood stove, we have that coming up on September 24th. But tours do include tours of the farmhouse, the feed mill with a special video related to the history of the site and the community, and an exhibit on rural geniuses, people
oh.
who were very innovative and mm-hmm. had saw problems related to rural communities, whether it was farming or production of products, and really tried to go about inventing things that would help to make a process more efficient or productive. And so we've explored several local inventors and the patents they sought and the things that inspired them
oh,
and their accomplishments.
Yeah, that's very nice. Is that a year-round thing or it's just a seasonal thing?
The Rural Genius Exhibit is also open from May to October.
Okay.
Marietta, from October to May, we really shift gears. And instead of being here on site and welcoming people to the site when it's harder to be open, we go out into the schools 4 and 5 days a week in
wow.
Schoharie, Delaware, and Greene counties mostly, but into other schools too,
uh-huh.
and really work with kids doing a variety of hands-on activities. So when it's not easy for people to come to us for several reasons, we make it an effort to reach out to a very important audience for us.
Mm-hmm.
Although people of all ages enjoy the site, it's great to really inspire young historians and young scientists and young engineers. We really have a great opportunity to explore what the schools are really emphasizing, which is STEM, mm-hmm. science, technology, math, and engineering, and STEAM, which adds the arts to that equation in the schools with kids in very hands-on ways.
So what grade levels? I mean, I'm trying to think, how do you do with a take a water wheel or, you know, what kind of approaches
well, we've
grade
developed
levels?
All sorts of hands-on activities
uh-huh.
that deal with some very general aspects of what the mill is or what mm-hmm. a mill is and how mills operate and how power gets transferred. So we've even, you know, we're lucky because we have a mill and we have several people who are quite handy here keeping mm-hmm. the mill operating and very talented woodworkers. So they've developed some real great hands-on activities that include pulleys and belts that kids can re-engineer on their own.
Yeah,
you know, we're not above stealing other ideas. So the internet and all the other great places we've all gone to and seen things happen at, we've stolen all kinds of ideas and developed new programs around them. But all of these programs have very hands-on components. We have mini ice houses mm-hmm. and activities where kids can figure out what the best way to store ice is and why and experiment mm-hmm. with that. And, you know, it involves heating pads and copper and little ice cubes and different types of insulation material. It is just challenging kids to think, you know, in very simple but effective ways mm-hmm. about how all of these things come together and how all of these things happen. And it's not just so you learn A plus B equals C, mm-hmm. but you learn about A, B, and C, and then you get to think about the rest of the alphabet in that context. It's not, you know, specific lesson as much as really opening their minds to thinking about problem solving and being innovative.
Important.
And that's really exciting.
Oh, yeah. And that leads to the entrepreneurial spirit, which is what you want. That's a great thing.
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. Would you ever come down to Orange County, or have you gone that far down?
We don't have any relationships with schools in Orange County. Mm-hmm. We do a lot throughout the Catskills, and certainly, you know, we would be glad to work with more schools in the Hudson Valley and downstate. Our interpretation coordinator did just spend a week working with a whole bunch of educators from downstate at a special camp that was very water and watershed focused.
Okay.
So we're hoping to have expanded our network a little bit in that way. We have a staff of six, and managing the historic site and developing the programs and doing all the other things we do to steward the site and the objects on the site keeps us pretty busy. So we do try to keep casting the net a little farther each year as we, you know, focus on our responsibilities here. But we certainly encourage people to come to our events and our programs on site, even if we can't get into the Orange County schools. And on our website, there is an education section where a lot of the hands-on activities we do include pre- and post-visit materials that are great little lessons in kind of preparation for and in follow-ups after these activities that are very useful to educators, even if we're not in their classroom.
What is your website? We should tell the website, too, for that.
It's www.hanford, H-A-N-F-O-R-D, Mills.org. And I'll caution everybody, the temptation with the Hannaford supermarket is to add an extra A there.
Yeah.
But just Hanford, Mills.org. And I highly encourage people who are thinking about visiting from the Hudson Valley and from downstate to not just check out our website, but check out a website that the museums helped to develop called smiles28.com. Because smiles28.com includes over 50 attractions and activities along Route 28 between Kingston and Herkimer, where State Route 28 meets the thruway on the kind of north and south ends of that stretch of 28. And, you know, it really does encourage families to explore, have some micro-adventures along and near Route 28 at places like Hanford Mills, at places as they're traveling to Cooperstown, at the Delaware-Ulster Railroad, at the Herkimer Diamond Mines, blueberry picking, and all kinds of other delightful things that we have in this area.
And, you know, in Meredith, too, you've got some very good farms that grow organic beef, grass-fed meat. So if somebody brings a cooler with them, I tell you, that's beautiful. Clean air, clean water, a good
clean
source.
Food.
Clean food. Yeah, very, very nice.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have some really great neighbors who are doing really innovative things to carry on the local farming traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And we are proud to be part of that neighborhood because of the role we've always played in local agriculture as well.
Yep, and I also want to recommend the little village of Andes that you drive through on 28 on the way up there. They've got some wonderful little shops and very interesting stops. So I think we're out of time. I can't believe how fast it went, Liz. But you are doing a phenomenal job up there. I highly recommend your site to anybody. It's a wonderful little trip, and there's a lot to do up in that area. So I'm happy to bring it down here to Hudson Valley so you can talk about yourself. So
thank you so much for the opportunity. And anybody who has more questions can call us at 607-278-5744 or reach any of us, including me, through the website.
Okay. Thank you very much, Liv. You have a wonderful week. Okay.
Thank you too, Marietta.
All right. That's a wrap for this week. I think you'd really love the Hanford Mills Museum. And it's up in Delaware County. There's an awful lot. You've also got Schoharie County right next door with cow caverns. You've got the Cooperstown area. So think about going up. You could do a day trip. You could do overnight. There's quite a bit to do. Have a wonderful week.